Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue a message I've entitled, Thy Kingdom Come. And we're learning some really powerful lessons from the life of King David, who was a type of Christ, of how we as the body of Christ living in the times in which we are now living, what are we to do? The Word is our guidebook, if you will, and the very things that the Lord told His disciples remain true for us in this time and in this generation. We're getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord. But He gave clear directives. We're to preach the gospel, we're to pray. And we were looking at the example of Jesus with what we call the Lord's Prayer. Pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we are to wage effective spiritual warfare against the forces of darkness. Our King has triumphed. He's given us victory over all work of the enemy. And not only that, we are to occupy until I come. To illustrate those words, he gave a parable in the 19th chapter of Luke of that to every man, every worker, he has given gifts and talents, and that we are responsible not for anyone else. We're responsible for ourselves before the Lord to do those things that God has given us to do. The directions, the abilities, the plans that He puts for our lives, this is what we must be involved in, which, of course, always sharing the truth and the love of Jesus. All right. So we see that for the king to set up his throne, David had to do certain things. He's a type of Christ. He unified the body of Christ, and I would suggest to you we'll see more power return to the body of Christ when there's a purity to our and a simplicity to our lives that we simply have to obey what the Word says. It's not what anyone really say. Thank God for wonderful teachers and ministers, pastors that are describing and amplifying and giving the true meat of the Word to God's people. But it's time, because the hour is so short. All we have to do is look at what's going on around us in our nation. There's never been a more critical time that we are living in. And saints, if we don't pray, the future is going to be serious. And we know that much of what is occurring is that the church is not doing all the things. And I'm not speaking, some of you, I'm sure, with all of your heart, you're loving God and seeking to please Him. But on the whole, we've seen such apostasy in the church, such a falling away. The scriptures talk about it. There will come. In the last, there's a falling away from the simplicity and purity of the Word of God. And it's not man's opinion, it's not the doctrinal statutes of denominations, it is the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to bring the body of Christ together. The early church, they didn't have factions. They had those who maybe were opposed to them, didn't want to follow the truth of the Word, but at least there was a unity and a coherent understanding, because the Lord's teachings are fairly simple. They may not be as far as understanding, but sometimes we've got to really learn to subdue the flesh and all the influences of the world to bring His purposes into fulfillment and accomplishment in our lives. So what did David do? He unified. He brought he had reigned 7 years over Judea. The rest of the Israelite tribes came to him, and he became king over all of Israel. So there's unity, and at least in the spirit, I mean, we are spread. God's people are spread all over the earth, every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. He's got his people, and it's impossible to organize that except the Spirit of the Lord can do a wonderful job, that we just obey him in the things he speaks to our lives, and there is a wonderful harmony that only the Father God knows. He's bringing it all together. The glory is all to him, not the spiritual warfare concept of any man. It is God himself. So what then did David do? He took authority over the demonic forces of the enemy, and this refers to our own personal life. He kicked out the Jebusites, and they had been there for centuries, and God, they were occupying the very place where the Lord Jesus, making an analogy to our life, where we have to allow to be fully, it's a process. We might say, well, I've fully surrendered my life to the Lord, but are there areas of in our own flesh? And that's true of everyone. God is in the process. We get born again immediately upon salvation, but sanctification continues until that time we are actually seeing the Lord. So moving on, what was the third thing he did? He extended his kingdom over beyond Jerusalem and to all the land that was given to Israel. In fact, the borders of Israel extended further than they ever had during the reign of David. And so when God's servants, speaking to us today, when we start moving in the realm of kingly authority, the devil rises up. We see the spiritual warfare that hits. That happened in David's life. These are patterns, examples that we need to understand. If you've really surrendered to the Lord and you're asking God to do a work in your life, if you've had warfare, don't be surprised, because it's given us as an example in the life of King David. All right, he had victory. He united the tribes. He conquered Jerusalem, got rid of the Jebusites. What was the next thing that happened? Well, as we look in 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, listen to this, and the Philistines represent the enemy. Verse 17, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, that was something they did not want. They possessed the land. They didn't want the Israelites taking any part of it for their kingdom. And all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." He was assured him a victory. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken," he had victory. He said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And again, the reign of the Lord, worship of God was being extended, getting rid of all the idolatry heathen that were worshiping devils. And the Philistines, one more time, came up yet again, spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, same as before. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "The Lord." And so that's what is the lesson for us. There's no one set plan with whatever we face in our daily lives, regardless of what worked a year ago, 2 months ago. God may have a different way of dealing with the work of the enemy, even though it was the same enemy. In David's case, it says they came up to them, and the Lord said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them." In other words, surround them. "Come up upon them over against the mulberry trees, and let it be," again, waiting the timing of the Lord, "when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go up before thee to smite the host of the Philistines," that rustling in the tops of the mulberry trees were the angelic hosts gathering to help fight of the enemy with David. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. So he was given victory. But we must understand, don't be appalled. Don't question, Lord, what am I doing? I'm trying to draw close to you, and it's like all hell is breaking loose. Well, we have a precedent in the Word of God. So the Lord gave him two different strategies. In the first case, David spoke to the Lord, and this was all to challenge David's authority. Everything that the enemy does, he hates you, but he hates the Lord that you serve. And so the enemy is challenging in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has ruled and reigned in this earth. Remember, back in the beginning, Adam and Eve forfeited their rule over the earth and gave it to the devil, basically. And as a result, Jesus had to come, and he restored that authority, but we have to act on it. And there's warfare until the Lord returns and subdues every opposition to him, which he will do when he returns. And so his first battle, God gave him a strategy, but for the second one, the Lord had a different strategy. And he said, it shall be when thou hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then go out to battle. So there's a timing of the Lord we have to learn. So basically, in this third spiritual warfare phase, the extension of the kingdom for David, there was and had to be a complete dependency on God for his instructions and timing. Even though David was a skilled warrior, the men of Israel he had with him were very serious military warriors, that nonetheless, what they did had to depend upon the instructions of God. Now, the final stage of what occurs, and that's what God wants to permeate our lives, is the restoration of worship. And we'll be looking at that on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you so much for joining me, and I just believe God is going to do some tremendous things in our lives. He's doing it now. The warfare is intense. The darkness it seems impenetrable to the natural person, but Jesus is the light of life. We are a city set upon a hill, and we will see the works of darkness vanquished. He will strengthen your hand, beloved, and you shall see victories that you've never seen before. I believe that with all my heart. And if you need the support of agreeing prayer, the announcer will give our contact information. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.